This is Bible Basics. This section is a digression called God's Manifestation. What follows will not be easy to grasp fully at first reading, but the importance of the subject will become more evident as your studies proceed. We include it at this point so that you will leave this study having fully considered the Bible's basic revelation about God Himself. The name of God can be carried by anyone through whom He chooses to manifest or reveal Himself. So men and angels, as well as Jesus, can carry God's name. This is a vital principle which opens up so much of the Bible to us. A son, especially, may carry the name of his father. He has certain similarities with his father. He may have the same first name, but he is not one and the same person as his father. In the same way, a representative of a company may speak on behalf of the company. He may telephone someone on business and say, "Hello, this is Unilever here." But he's not Mr. Unilever, but he carries their name because he's working on their behalf. And so it was with Jesus. We're told in Exodus 23, verses 20 and 21, that God told the people of Israel that an angel would go ahead of them. "My name is in him," they were told. The personal name of God is Yahweh. So the angel carried the name of Yahweh and could thus be called Yahweh, or the Lord in small capitals, as the word Yahweh is translated in the NIV and the AV. We're told in Exodus 33:20 that no man can see the face of God and live. And yet, in Exodus 33:1, we read that the Lord, Yahweh, spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, that is directly. It could not have been the Lord, Yahweh, himself in person who spoke to Moses face to face, because no man can see God himself. It was the angel who carried God's name and did so. And so we read of the Lord speaking face to face with Moses, when it was actually an angel who did so. Acts 7, verses 30 to 33. There are many other examples of the words God and Lord referring to the angel as opposed to God himself. One clear example is Genesis 1:26, and God, the angel, said, "Let us make man in our image." Men with God's name. One of the passages which is most helpful in demonstrating all this is John 10, 34 to 36. Here, the Jews made a mistake which many do today. They thought that Jesus was saying that he was God himself. Jesus corrected them by saying, "Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods, why do you say of me, you blaspheme, because I said I am the Son of God?" Jesus is really saying, in the Old Testament, men are called gods. I'm saying, I am the Son of God. Why are you getting so upset? Jesus is actually quoting from Psalm 82, where the judges of Israel were called gods. As has been shown, the full name of God in Hebrew is Yahweh Elohim, implying he who will be revealed in a group of mighty ones. The true believers are those in whom God is revealed in a limited sense in this life. However, in the kingdom, they will be the mighty ones in whom the Lord will be fully manifested. This is all beautifully shown by a comparison of Isaiah 64, verse 4, and 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. "Men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, besides you, what he has prepared for him that waits for him." Now, Paul quotes this in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10, and says this, "It is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit." The passage in Isaiah 64 says that no one except God can understand the things he has prepared for the believers. However, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 says that those things have been revealed to us. The priests were God's representatives. man to appear before the Lord effectively referred to his appearance before the priest. When we read of men going up to God at Bethel, the house of God, 1 Samuel 10, verse 3, for example, we ought to think that God himself did inhabit in Bethel. The reference is to the priests, his representatives, being there. Jesus and the name of God. It's not surprising that Jesus, as the Son of God and his supreme manifestation to men, should also carry God's name. He could say, "I am come in my Father's name," John 5, verse 43. Because of his obedience, Jesus ascended to heaven, and God gave him a name which is above every name. That's the name of Yahweh, of God himself. Philippians 2, verse 9. So, this is why we read Jesus saying in Revelation 3, verse 12, "I will write upon him," that's the believer, "the name of my God, and I will write upon him my new name." At the judgment, Jesus will give us God's name. We will then fully carry the name of God. And he calls this name my new name. Remember, Jesus gave the book of Revelation some years after his ascension into heaven, and after he had been given God's name, as explained in Philippians 2, verse 9. So he can call God's name my new name, the name he has recently been given. And we can now properly understand Isaiah 9, verse 6, where concerning Jesus we're told his name, note that, shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. This is a prophecy that God would carry all the name of God, that he would be the total manifestation or revelation of God to us. It was in this sense that he was called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us, although he personally was not God. But the prophecy of Joel 2, that men would call on the name of Yahweh, was fulfilled by people being baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. Consider Acts 2, verse 21, and look at verse 38. It also explains why the command to baptize into the name of the Father was fulfilled, as detailed in the Acts record, by baptism into the name of Jesus.